You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes,
is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. I already put the number out on social because Nick's Twitter, you know, we need to have it out. But Bart, for those who didn't see it on the social media, give him the number.
1-800-919-3776. And before you start your hating, let my boy Allen take a victory lap, because as all the experts were saying who the best available was, we was on the text and we were, you know, communicating with each other. It was like, guys, relax. Obi. No. But they just said, guys, relax. I said Obi. No, Allen, I just heard J. Will. I just heard Bill. He said, damn it. I said Obi. We said, okay. And you know what that pick was? Obi. So hate all you want. But finally, the Knicks got who they wanted, who they identified as the player that they wanted to build the Thibodeau era around. So miss me with all the hate today, but I know the hate's going to come. But I'm going to be like the Matrix and Neo when they shot all the bullets. I'm going to avoid all of them. So if you can't get us on the phone line, because I'm sure it's going to be jam-packed, you can catch us on the tweet at Bart and Han. And if you can't catch us on the tweet at Barton Hine, DM Allen exclusively on Barton Hine Instagram. Bill, do your damn job.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Now, Bill, you're rubbing off on your boy, because now he going walk a flock. He trying to fight a 280-pound, you know, lineman in Mark Colombo. But I love that he stood his ground. And at the end of the day, if he had to call security and tell him to get his ass out of the building, his code no longer works. I'm all good with it. So tell them how to get in contact with us again, Bill.
Snap face, instant shot, or whatever it is.
Damn straight.
My headphones are broken.
That's funny.
B&H, I need some headphones. That's the bottom line.
Let's we've been saying that.
This thing's hanging off my ear like I was fighting Tyson and he took a bite of it. Like, this thing's just hanging. Mess.
You know what's look crazy, Alan?
You can't see me, but if you saw me, it'd be hilarious.
It's almost been a year, Alan. And it's crazy because we've been saying this, and it seemed like we've only been around each other like 25 times since we've been screaming for the headphones, and B&H is letting us down, man. They're letting us down.
I bought
a laptop from them.
You did?
And I paid full price, too.
Full price?
You owe me, damn it. You owe us.
Free publicity every time we say B. That's why we stopped saying B&H.
Yep.
Spartan, huh?
Exactly. Haters.
But I'll tell you what. The Knicks are the Cleveland Browns. I have to say, look, the draft went for the Knicks as well as the draft has gone in a long time. It's not that they, oh my God, they got fantastic picks and it's just the future is bright. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is two players that they wanted, they got. They maneuvered. They were prepared. This is a team that they moved up, and we wondered why they moved up to 23. What did they do with 23? And then they moved out of 23. Well, they obviously moved up to 23 just in case they had to move up in the draft to get the guy they wanted, which is Obi Toppin. They got him. They got a New York kid who's an athletic freak and you know, a fantastically energetic player that you're going to enjoy watching play. He's a stretch four. He can shoot the three. There's more to his game than he showed at Dayton. He admitted that. Defensive questions, if Tom Thibodeau is watching film and says, yeah, I'll sign off on this, then he must see something that they can fix, right, that they can figure out. Whatever it is, they got the guy they wanted, and he was a National Player of the Year. And a lot of people saw him as a guy that could have gone top five. So, with that in mind, the draft went the way they wanted it. Because even though at 23, okay, they didn't need it, so let's move back. And then they still got another player they wanted, which is Emmanuel Quickley, which I know a lot of people are like, well, you could have gotten him in the second round. Well, you know what? It's too bad they didn't freaking have you in the war room to tell them that, genius. So they dial that stuff down. That's the stuff I don't want to hear. They could have gotten this guy here. You don't know that. All right? Madam Cleo, relax. So if you don't like the pick, that's one thing. But don't tell me they could have gotten him somewhere else. This draft was not that good. So you just get the player you know. They knew this kid. They wanted him. They got him. So they got the players they wanted. They left happy. They weren't jumped by anyone. They weren't caught off guard. They got the players they wanted. Now, with that in mind, when people say to me, are you happy? You feel good? No. Now, Bart, ask me why I don't still feel good yet about everything happening with this team.
Well, Alan, why don't you feel good about, you know, 25,000 forwards?
Exactly. Because you're still the Cleveland Browns, chasing the quarterback, trying to find one, and you didn't get one. Now, was this draft one that had like a bona fide, this dude's going to be your starting point guard day one, like this is going to be a stud point guard? No. No, every guard in this draft had question marks, had concerns. So you had other options you went with. You could have gotten a guard at 25. There were a bunch of dudes that were there that I liked too. I like Malachi Flynn. I like Peyton Pritchard. I like Tyrell Terry. Those guys were all there. But guess what they are? They're at best going to be in their career. At best. Now, there's always those outliers that all of a sudden show up and they're like, wow, they got him at 28 and he became a stud. Those are outliers. They happen. But you can't tell me I'm taking a guy at 25 and I think, you know, he's a four-year senior and I'm going to turn him into a superstar. Come on. At best, that's a guy that's going to come off your bench and be a combo guard, a backup guard, whatever it is. And they can still be a valuable player. But I'm looking for the guy who's now going to be the maestro. Because you've got a team now that needs one. And you've got now with Toppin and with Mitchell Robinson.
Ooh, you got a fast break waiting to happen, baby.
You got, it's Lob City. But the problem is, it's not Lob City. It's like, what is it? Lob Neighborhood? Lob Block?
Let's go, Dennis Smith. Get him up.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Never mind. I'm sorry.
Whoops.
Whoopsies.
Because that is the best guard. I mean, that's your starting point guard right now. Dennis Smith Jr. So when you ask me, this is two questions. How do you think the Knicks did? They did great. They got what they wanted. Oh, so you're saying they had a great draft? I didn't say that. They did great because they got what they wanted. But I still see a franchise that, much like the Cleveland Browns, still can't find their quarterback. And we go now into free agency, which starts tomorrow. And I'm going to see if they're going to give Fred VanVleet 4 years and $117 million to try to get him to leave Toronto.
Or?
26 Rondo? Years old.
Is Rondo a possibility?
That's not. He's
hold the fort.
I mean, again, Rondo is an AARP. I mean, I'm talking about a guy with a bunch of 19, 20, 22-year-olds. I need somebody that's a little bit closer to their age that I feel like for the next couple of years, you got something fun to watch. Like, I don't. Like, you understand what I'm saying, Bart?
I do.
Like, I've got. Here's the thing. It's like a hockey team. When you got great wings and no center, okay. It's a donut, it's a hole in the middle. The Knicks are the same thing. They right now have young talent on the wing, in the paint, and the most important position, they don't have it. And they still are looking for it. So I can't sit back and think, all right, I like this. I like what I see. I can't, because they don't have the most valuable position, and that's point guard. They weren't able to get in this draft, and now I got to see, can they do it in free agency? Can they do it in a trade? That's why you're asking. I give you two answers when you ask me about last night. I thought it went well for the Knicks, but I don't think at all that they solved their problems.
But you can only connect the dots, right? Looking backwards, correct? You can't connect them going forward. So we're hoping that, you know, are we going to give this regime the benefit of the doubt? I know what previous regimes have been and those before that. We all know the history of the Knicks.
Right.
But are you going to give this regime the benefit of the doubt, knowing that they said, hey, they were going to get Obi, and they got him? The fact that, you know, we had, you know, we had World Wide West probably working his magic, knowing that he was going to be there, because they didn't panic. They didn't move up and try to shoot up to try and go get somebody. I thought they were very, very prepared, and they come off as looking very professional. Today's a good day for the Knicks because they look like a professional outfit. They look like they went through and they had a plan. They look like everybody did their job. So to the other guys out there, to all the players out there, start to say, maybe the Knicks are starting to build something. Maybe I could go there and, you know, I get there and I be the first piece and the second piece, or I can talk to a guy and we can try and get something together. And especially if you think that they have something and they're going to spend some long-term equity on a guy like Van Fleet, mm-hmm. and get him out of Toronto and get him here. And he's a guy that can shoot. He's a guy that's a competitor. He's a guy that I believe is a defensively responsible player. You know, you think about Toronto and that entire team, they all had a commitment to defense. And he's a big shot. He's a big shot maker. And this will give him the opportunity to step out of the shadows of Lowry and say, you know what, I'm going to have opportunity to lead my own squad, and I'm comfortable with the guys that they got running it. He probably called Drake and was like, hey, man, you used to talk about World Wide West. How well you know him? Let me holler at him. Tell him I'm thinking about coming. You know what I'm saying? Because if I can do it in New York, I already got my title. So now it's all about the cash, homie.
It is, and it's to me, in a draft like this, Bart, it's about relationships, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's why when you see what they did and you see that they took a guy like Obi Toppin, and then later you find out, you know, John Wallace was telling me, because he's close with Rick Brunson. And Rick Brunson, who used to be on Tom Thibodeau's coaching staff for a while, in both places, Minnesota and Chicago, he's training players. And one of the players that he has been training all summer in Jersey is Obi Toppin. He's been working him out. So you have inside information on this kid. If you're telling me like this is a decision you made on draft night, we all know that's not the decision you made on draft night. This was the decision made a while back, which is why they just grabbed that 23 pick just in case. If we need to package the 8 and another pick, let's get a little closer so that it has some value. So if we have to jump up, because I think Cleveland was shopping that pick at 5, and they were willing to move back. So there was some options for you to move up if you had to, but as the draft was laying out, you're like, you know what, we're not going to have to move up. I think we're going to be fine. So that's why they had that inside information on Toppin. They spent a lot of time on him. They know him very, very well.
That's not the only person they know. Explain to the folks out there who else they know and why.
Well, all right, so the pick at 25, we were supposed to get him on today, but we have to wait because the trade won't be official till this weekend. All right, so everybody understands that. So we were going to have Emmanuel quickly on today, but we weren't able to get him on, mainly because the trade's not done yet, so you can't talk to the kid about it, right? We will, though, have Anthony Grant on, who is the Dayton coach, and he coached Obi Toppin. He coached at Oklahoma City for a while. He and Billy Donovan have a relationship, and he's a straight shooter. It'll be great to talk to him about Toppin and what he sees in him as an NBA player. And Dayton, by the way, which was robbed of NCAA tournament glory, because of, obviously, of COVID. So it'd be good to talk with Anthony Grant. That'll be at noon. But just getting back to the other pick, which is 25. And there's people that are like, you could have gotten this kid in the second round. And again, I say, if only they had you in the war room to tell them that, they would have not made the pick at 25. Or how about they're like, I don't care where we're picking. I like this kid. We know him really well. We're just going to go with this, and we're going to call it a day. And that's what they did. Now, Quickly is a combo guard out of Kentucky. And I posted a story on The Athletic, and I shout out to Hurls, who sent it, because it's a really interesting story about a player who, oh, by the way, was SEC Player of the Year. Now, Kentucky had a bunch of guys. This wasn't a typical superstar Kentucky team, but they were a hard-playing team. Quickly's a guy that can shoot threes, Bart. We like that, don't we?
We love the space.
Yeah,
for that.
He's also like a 90-something percent free throw shooter. We like that, too, don't we?
I love that.
Okay. So what you also know about him is he's a combo guard. And they've talked about how when you go to Kentucky sometimes, and Tyler Hero is a great example of that, how you don't always play in the position that you're used to playing. They make you uncomfortable because there's so much talent there. Everybody kind of fights over, well, I'm the point guard, I'm the two guard, I'm a combo. You play off the ball sometimes, all that stuff. They feel like, and Kenny Payne's an assistant now with the Knicks. He was on the coaching staff with Kentucky this past season and for the last 20 years, or whatever it was, 10 years. And he knows all these players. They know this kid intimately. Like, they know everything about him. And so when you pick him and you say from the outside, I watch film, he's not that good. Well, maybe the guys that know him well know there's a little more to his game than maybe you saw in games. And there's talk about, and this story outlines it from talking to different people, that, yeah, he's got some stuff. He's not super athletic, a strong body. You know, you don't know if he's a point guard or a two. You're not sure. But we know he can score very confident. He's got a multifaceted game where he can score in many different ways. He can shoot the three. Not a super high percentage, but he can shoot it. Or at least in the games, they weren't super high percentage. But they've seen him shoot. They've seen him work out. Gym rat. You can't get him out of the gym. Just loves the game. One of those types. And they use Tyler Hero as the example. Gave him space. You put him in the NBA type of set. Right. And his game just suddenly gets, the game gets easier for some guys when they go to the pros.
Yeah, because of the zone. And people not just sitting there. And you don't have to play in the system. You could be free. I mean, we've seen this over and over again. We've seen guys average 14 points in college. And then they averaging 20. Like, where have this been?
Yeah. I mean, so who knew Bam Adebayo was going to become a superstar like he did? It's all about development. Like, that's a big part of it, too. But look, I'm not saying, oh, Quickley's just going to be a star. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in a draft of so much uncertainty, where you're only allowed to meet with 10 players, that's it, 10. You meet with them once, that's it. Usually in the draft process, you're working guys out, you take them out to dinner. There's a lot more to it. This is all virtual. It's all Zoom meetings and Zoom workouts. There wasn't a ton of tape. There was no NCAA tournament to watch where it's like true pressure cooker type stuff. And when you look at Quickley and the numbers on him, when he's on the road playing in a hostile environment, he shot the best. Again, when you know he's a gym rat type of personality, like that's the kind of thing you look at. That he's a competitor, he's a baller, and the key here, willing to play a role. Understood it, which is not easy. And some guys, when you draft them, who were the man at their school, and you're like, all right, you're coming to the NBA. All right, we want you to play this role off the bench, but you're going to be sort of a combo. Ball's not always going to be in your hand, but we need you to play this role and thrive. And it's like, that's an adjustment for a lot of guys who, for most of their lives, they've had the ball in their hands, and they've been the man. This guy is showing you, like a lot of Kentucky guys show you, that they can do that. Because they've had to do it at Kentucky. That's how Cal teaches them. So if you're asking me, can he come in and play right away a role? Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're believing here. So when you ask, why did they make this pick? I'm trying to explain it to you. Now, I will again, full disclosure, looked at 25 and said, there's some veteran guards, Malachi Flynn, Peyton Pritchard, Tyrell Terry. There's some point guards that are there that I'd love to see them grab. I'd love to see them get this type of a point guard. So I'm not saying that I'm all for this, but when right. I do the homework, when I read and I talk to people, okay, now I understand the thinking. Let's see what they can do with them. But you draft people that you know really well because you're comfortable with them, right. And that's certainly what they did in this draft part. So I feel like they had a good night as a team. They did well because they got what they wanted. But I still feel empty because the most important position in the sport is still a major question mark for this team.
And they may be addressing that through via tomorrow, starting to start a free agency. So if they're addressing it then we can get another piece to the puzzle and say, hey, they had a plan all along. They wanted to develop this kid, and they thought that he can be Halliburton. He can be him, and he was a poor man, so we got what we wanted because there was only one Obi in the draft. So we got the one Obi that we got, and then we got a poor man's Halliburton, or whatever you want to say, and then we're going to get somebody that's going to mentor him and somebody he can learn from, so we don't have to put the pressure on him day one. Because if you would have went and got Tyler, wouldn't he been expected to play and perform at a high level? But if you go out and you get a veteran guy and he's coming off the bench, it allows him to kind of develop into that role.
It's fair. Yeah, look, Halliburton has a nice all-around game, but yet somehow he went to 12. So you always wonder, like, well, if he's considered, if some people thought he was going to be one of the best playmaking guards in this draft, why did so many people pass on him? You know, like, so there's also that kind of stuff. So, again, 800-919-3776 is the number. We want to get everybody involved in this, though, because, like I said, there was so much activity on Twitter last night through the night. I was up late last night, just even after I got back from the studio. It was great. By the way, Bart, it was great to be back in the studio under the real TV lights and stuff. Like, it was kind of
fresh,
cool.
Right? Feel fresh.
Yeah,
right?
Felt good to be in a suit.
Everybody do your part.
Look
right? You look great, man. And everybody do your part. Everybody do your part so Alec can stay in the studio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I absolutely missed that. It was just great to have everybody there. John Wallace told some great stories from his draft experience. Wally, of course, who is just a savant when it comes to basketball, college basketball, especially because he watches so much. He covers it for CBS. So he knew so many players. Like, there were players. There was one guy. It was like he had one vowel. His name literally was about 11 letters long. There was only one vowel, and it was at the beginning of the name. I didn't even know how to pronounce it. And he's like, oh, yeah, this guy does. He's just breaking it down. Like, how the hell do you know about that guy? So that's what made Wally, like, valuable last night, Bill Pito. It was a lot of fun, what we did in the studio and how we were able to do it throughout the draft. Overall, though, there was a lot of other headlines, not just Knicks related. I thought the Nets made a fantastic move. I'll tell you about that. A terrible story out of Golden State. A heartbreaking story out of Golden State that we got to talk about on the NBA side of things. And then Bart, of course, the Mets, it's almost like fortune, and you hate to like...
No, their fortunes are changing. No, it's good fortune.
Oh my goodness, man. Like that story that came out after our show.
Burn the sage.
It's amazing. Oh, I got to point out something else. Speaking of sage, John Wallace and I were talking about health and, you know, the best ways to stay healthy. And you, he said, sea moss.
It's a sea moss.
Aha.
He swears by it. And I was like, I got to get you and Bart together. Nice. No doubt about that. Seamoss. I'm going to get on the Seamoss now.
Get your yin-yang twins right, too.
Phrasing?
I'm good. Fortunately, I'm good there. And I have
But you can never improve on a strength.
I don't mind doing that either. Getting older, you know how it goes. All right, let's grab a call.
Phrasing.
I would have 3776. Let's see. Let's go with Clinton in Harlem to start us off. Clinton.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I love your tone this morning. I think you make very fair points about the hole still missing. But one thing I do want to address that I think is a little unfair that some Knicks fans, a lot of callers this morning, even Jay Will hit this last night when they drafted Obi. You know, people are bringing up the forwards. There's a lot of forwards. I don't like the fit. It's a glut of forwards. Other than Mitchell Robinson, I don't think any of the bigs on the Knicks roster are part of their future. And these guys are all on team options. And Julius Randle has only one more guaranteed year. And that third year is a
club option.
That third year is a team option. So, you know, when you think about it from that perspective, it's like these guys are solidifying their front line. They're making some moves for the future. There's not a glut of forwards because these guys are not part of the future.
I get what you're saying because you're right. Like, you know, you can look at it two ways. Well, they have a ton of power forwards, yes, but two of them are on club options this year, Taj and Bobby Portis, and then Julius Randle's on the last year. And now that I really look at it, do you really want Julius Randle on this roster if that means Obi Toppin now has to come off the bench? Like, I kind of feel like if you're going to, like, let's just go. You know, if I can move Julius Randle, I'm going to move him. Only because why not have the 22, you have a pair of 22-year-olds at power forward and center and they can both jump out of the gym. Like, do I really want Julius Randle in the way? So I feel like I got to find a way to move him. It's an inspiring contract. Let me move him.
I was hoping that too. Give up a draft pick and just move him to somebody that can eat up his salary.
Get him out of the way. You know, I'd rather keep Portis, who at least can come off the bench as a four.
Yeah, send him to Atlanta.
And Julius, who has to start, and put him at the four.
Send him to Atlanta and get some lemon pepper Lou wings.
There you go. So I get that, but I'm just being a realist. This has happened before, and so I'm seeing it happen again. You load up in your front court, and then you forget you still need the maestro, and they don't have that guy. And it feels like the Cleveland Browns, year after year after year. Who's it going to be now at the point guard? Who's starting at point guard this year? I mean, the names just keep changing every single year. Can you get somebody that can be the point guard here for more? Like, can I get one that's a starter for consecutive years? Because I don't think when was the last time the Knicks had a point guard who started, who was the majority starter for two consecutive years? Two. That's all I'm asking. The majority starter. That's what I want to know, because it's been a while. Let's take Derek in Harlem. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, Al? What's up, Bart? I just want to congratulate the Knicks for actually running a competent draft for the first time, like Bart said. Like, when have you ever seen the Knicks do? Like, usually we're in the draft, and you know how it is, Alan. We're always like, oh, the player we wanted, we missed them. So now they got the player they wanted. They traded back, they traded up, they moved around. I've never seen the Knicks do stuff like that in the draft.
And well, that's Walt Perrin has been doing.
We had no shooters, so we got a shooter.
You know what, though, Derek? Walt Perrin has been running the Utah Jazz draft for 20 years. There's a reason why they went and got him. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so they hired the right people.
Everybody did their job. That's the point. Everybody did their job.
Yeah, so that's good. No, that part's good. Thanks, D. That part's good. It's again, like I said, it's the incompleteness that is still there, and you're chasing the one thing that I think is the toughest thing to get. You know, it's almost like the Jets, but it feels more like the Browns. And I hate to keep saying, I'm not harping on it, but I am, because I don't want to let go of that until it's complete. Get the guard, get the maestro, and then now we can start talking. So how I remedied my headphone issue, which my friends at Best Buy.
I can see you now.
In Huntington.
Best Buy.
Those are my guys over there. I love those guys.
Shout out Best Buy. Send me some.
I'm heading over there this afternoon. So if you're listening, fellas, I'll be there to get me some new headphones. But I did what every dad does. Every dad does this when something breaks. You know what you do, right?
Yeah.
Go get you get duct tape. Stuff.
Or mechanical tape. Let me see what you got.
Yeah, here you go.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
See that?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Man, duct tape fixes everything. Everything.
Why aren't you sponsored by Beat by Dre anyway? Because I mean, you're always making them look good. You represent, and you know, you're always talking about hip hop and music.
That's a good point.
That should be a win-win. I mean, I don't get it. That go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Well, you have PC Richard and son. PC Richard and son of your friends.
Yeah, Todd, what's up, Todd? Well, Todd, I appreciate that, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see who got the best friends. Let's see who
has the best friend. Right, is Best Buy my best friend or is PC Richard your best friend?
Yes.
Let's see. So who is a better friend?
Let's do it for like.
We don't have a whistle for Best Buy.
Let's do it for Xbox. Let's do it for.
How good of a friend are you?
Send
me a PS5
or Xbox.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
So did you hear? I don't think it's official yet, but there was word that was spread throughout the draft last night about Klay Thompson injuring his other leg.
Yes,
and my friend Mark Spears he's on the undefeated.
Yeah,
exactly. Not Marcus. He said that somebody was telling him that it's not good. Like in that. Yeah. Kind of that grave means, voice. It's not maybe. Good.
Yeah, that means.
And there's a rumor out there that it's Achilles.
Got Achilles. Yeah.
God.
Like Kevin Durant, man. We always talk about the compensation.
But Klay Thompson.
It's an opposite leg. Too.
Exactly.
It's been 17 months, Alan. So it's not that he wasn't ready to come back. We've seen guys come back far sooner than that. It's just one of those freak injuries where you don't realize you're compensating. I talk about it all the time.
Oh, I know it.
It's always the opposite leg. I guarantee you, it's the opposite leg.
It's 100%. It's 100% true. You know, again, I'm not at that level, but when I tore my ACL, the first time, the compensation was off the charts to a point where my meniscus on the left side just started to grind. Then I tore it the second time, and I tried to come back that second time, and the left leg was done. And now my left leg, I'm 20 something years later.
Yeah.
My left leg is worse than my right leg.
Yeah, that's why
my right knee's fine because it was reconstructed. My left knee, forget.
And you did all the rehab to make that super strong.
Yeah.
And then the other one gets weaker, so then one side's stronger than the other. And, you know, when you look at what happened with Boogie. Boogie came back from Achilles. Then the next year, he blew his opposite quad out.
So what happens, like, to the Warriors all of a sudden now because it's no longer Splash Brothers?
Championship dreams are done. It's now, championship. He's 30 years old, Allen.
Wiggins now becomes more important. They can't trade him now. Imagine if they traded Wiggins.
I thought if they were going to do that, they were going to trade him yesterday. But they just said, you know what? We're going to take the best available because I thought they're going to trade number two pick and trade Wiggins at the same time. Because last year when we talked about the money matching up, being able to bring in a max contract, we talked about how it matched up, and that's why they got rid of D'Angelo Russell. But that's why in turn they brought back Wiggins so the money can match up, so they can bring in a third max contract. But now they can't do that, so now you kind of stuck with Wiggins and you stuck with Curry. And we talked earlier, I was with Jay Will. And we talked about the usage of Curry and how he breaks down if you ask him to do too much and he has to carry the load, much like how he did last year in his injury history as well. So, listen, this is tough, man, because you expect this team to say, you know what?
Warriors can't live through another. Can you call them a championship contender in the
you can't.
In the West?
I don't know.
Not without Clay.
Yeah, and they're not. I mean, Wiseman become like the rookie of the year, and he's like the second coming of like who's been a big man that just come and take the league by storm? Like, he's Dwight Howard or he's Tim Duncan year one. Like, that's the only way I can see, like, okay, well, we do have a big three. Wiggins got to step up. It's too many ifs. And, you know, that's a lot to ask. But last year, we saw this very proud organization only win 15 games. You thought that was the year that they was going to punt on. It's no way that they're going to punt the second year and not compete and not try and get into the playoffs. But they're going to go into the playoffs undermanned because the other teams in that conference, whether it's the Denver Nuggets, whether it's the Utah Jazz, whether it's the Portland Trailblazers who got a lot better, whether it's the Phoenix Suns who got a lot better, whether it's the Clippers that got Luke Kennard from Detroit, so now they got a spaced-out shooter.
Interesting. Like, I love that pickup.
You know, so it's like, you know, out there, they could be the eighth seed and bounce early. How disrespectful would that be?
Oh, now with that in mind, you mentioned Kennard, you mentioned the Detroit moving all the different picks that were moving around. The Nets had the 19th pick in the draft. They traded it. And they traded it for Landry Shamet.
Great.
When I saw that, I was like, what a great pickup that is.
And come on home.
He's a career 40% three-point shooter. And each year just gets better and better. He was nice with the Sixers. The Clippers, he had to find his but he had some good games, though. He can get hot. Yes. He's a perfect role player, come in and space the floor kind of guy that you need on a team with stars. Perfect.
Get Kyrie a quick little break. That way, you know, the offense can go through KD. You know, and by time you're not losing much, you need these guys off the bench, man.
Yeah.
You need these guys that are these instant microwave Vinnie Johnson type guys that come off and give you offense, that can run the offense as well, and also score and create their own shot. He's one of those guys. He's competitive as hell, too. I love the pick as well, but we still know that that's not what we're waiting for. We're waiting for that third big piece.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
We don't know if it's going
to
come.
I am waiting to see now. Will they make the move?
Who blinks
first? Will they make the move for James Harden? Is that going to happen? Obviously, you know, you'd think, would they have done it with the 19th pick? You know, would the Rockets want to pick this year? But clearly, no. So the Rockets are still holding out.
Rockets going to need players. And they're going to have to give up a haul, man.
But it has to happen before the season starts, Bart. This can't be something that, if this lingers into the season, it's less likely it's going to happen, in my opinion.
Well, we know James Harden ain't going to get booed because ain't no fans. But it's Texas, you never know. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Remember in Anthony Davis, like how they were booing him there and how uncomfortable that was to watch his home team booing him while he's sitting on the bench? You don't have to worry about that in Texas. And the fact that if you're going to get it done, if you're going to get rid of him, then you got to say, you know, I'm trying to get rid of Russell as well because they're joined at the hip. So, I mean, you might as well say, you know what, if we're getting rid of these guys, we're going to get rid of Tucker. So maybe, you know, if I'm
he's got to go too.
Yeah, maybe you get more if you send Tucker and you send Harden somewhere, some type of three-team trade, somebody that's going to absorb some of that contract and make the money match. I mean, look at a team like Cleveland. I mean, they should have some contracts that can match. Hey, send them Drummond.
No, nobody wants that either. 800-919-3776. Again, just remind everybody, Anthony Grant, who is Obi Toppin's coach at Dayton, he'll join us at noon, so we'll get some insight on who the Knicks are going to get. So we look forward to that. But let's get some calls going here. Chris in Wantagh. Chris?
Alan, Bart, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Listen, this is, before I get into this, it has nothing to do with Obi. I think he's going to be a great player, and I don't want Julius Randle on my team. I just need that to be said before any of this. But when you have the eighth overall pick, and like you guys have said, who's throwing the point? And when a point is what's needed to play with RJ and Mitch, I would much rather have my pick of the point guards and then settle for, you know, like Jaden or Josh McDaniels from Washington, who's probably a better NBA four because he's a more like an actual shooter. Obi isn't a shooter, guys. Obi's a post player that was given open threes in college because I ain't getting dunked on. I'd rather you take a three.
Chris, I got to back it up there. People that know stuff are people I talk to.
Yeah.
They said, he's not an athlete who shoots threes. He's a three-point shooter who's an athlete. He just it wasn't part of what he had to do in college, so he didn't have to take a ton.
Okay, that's fine, but Alan, and I'm not going to try to say I know more than these people because I don't. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah,
but,
I just asked. Like, what I do is ask.
Alan's those people. See, what you don't realize that, and I'm going to let you finish your point.
Okay.
Is Alan just did a little baby flex on you. He's like,
I know he did. You know who I talked to, son? I've called Alan before. He knows.
No, I like Chris. I like Chris a lot. And we both agree, though. I felt empty coming out of a draft without a point guard. I felt empty.
Alan,
I'm being honest.
Alan,
I felt empty.
Quigley is more of a two, and if he hits, that's great. He's a 6'7" shooter.
Yeah, he's a.
So what if you get Van Fleet?
Quigley's Quickly, to me, is going to be your off-the-bench scoring combo guard. That's what he's going to be in one day, and that's fine. But he's, it's not a point
guard. You still have to move Julius, too. Like,
yeah,
the thing is, we have Julius, and as much as I hated him, you get an actual point guard, and, like, we need... Listen, the whole thing is...
Well, how many point guards... How about this one? Chris, how many point guards do the Pelicans need at this point? They drafted one. They traded for three of them. They all can't be there.
So you want Lonzo?
Can I make an analogy?
Lonzo, Eric Bledsoe. Give me somebody.
You're a Jets fan, too, Alan. You're a Jets fan, too. We've time and time again take the best player available instead of the need. Yeah. And it ends up making us have to move a player who has a better value but no longer fits the system because we like the guy younger. Obi Toppin's great, but his offensive game, like you said, he can shoot threes. He's a monster in the paint. Where is Mitch a monster? Mitch is a monster in the paint. The reason why Mitch always gets in foul trouble, he has to defend poor defenders. This is just another guy who's going to be a poor defender. He's going to get on his doghouse. And this is going to explain to me why he isn't playing this guy.
I never let you do this. I never let you go ahead and tell me what a kid's going to be before we've seen him play. So I'm not going to let you do that. Especially, again, let's also look at it this way. Tom Thibodeau was very much involved in the draft process. Trust me on that, all right? Just take my word for it. Which means he watched a ton of film. It's what he does. It's what the guy watches film. He doesn't watch TV shows. He doesn't he binge watches
No Friends
2019-2020 Knicks games. That's his binge, all right? So he was also binge watching a lot of Dayton because he knew this is the guy we want to get. He knew. So he did all his homework, and he watched him. And you're telling me that he watched him, and he's like, holy crap, this kid can't defend. We're in big trouble. You don't think he would have said something? You don't think he would have said, hey, guys, I see major flaws in this dude. Or does he say, I can fix this. Like, there's something there. All right, it's easily fixed. So that's what you got to know. You got to feel like, I think he probably feels like they can fix it. That's all I'm going to say on that one. I will continue with the calls, 800-919-3776. Again, I love the passion. Don't get me wrong. I'm coming back at you just because that's how we do it. But it's not like I'm not fighting you. I'm not telling you you're wrong. Like, this is how we do it. When Bart talks to Jets fans and NFL fans, the same thing happens. They'll give an opinion, and then he'll give his educated opinion, and we fight it out. That's what we do. So don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just call in. We'll have some fun. So let me correct myself, because thankfully, I have all my friends on Twitter to do it for me.
Alan Hahn is a sweet jumper.
I appreciate all you for this. It's Miles Powell.
Bless your heart.
Yes, from Seton Hall.
Okay.
Point guard. But, clutch your pearls. He's 23. Oh, my God. He's too old. He's too old. But he can ball. I mean, this guy put up numbers at Seton Hall. Didn't get drafted, which some people felt was a big surprise. I mean, he's got talent. But like I told you, teams look at guy. If you're 23, if you're like 4 year start, they know I don't have to draft you. And I'll be honest with you. Here's another little secret. If I'm an agent, sometimes you're like, don't take me with the 58th pick.
Yeah, let me pick.
Because I don't want to be stuck in a salary slot. Like, just sign me as an undrafted free agent. Like, it's a little bit easier, you know? So the Knicks will sign him. All reports say this. And 6'2 point guard, this guy, he's really a combo. But man, he could score. And his shooting slash line is one that is not beautiful. It's 42-35-81. So 81 is the free throw percentage, so you know he obviously can shoot. But last year, he averaged 22 a game. He was player of the year in the Big East.
He's local,
and
too, right?
Local guy from Trenton.
See what I'm saying?
So now you got another player of the year. So you got a national player of the year. You've got the SEC player of the year. And now you have the Big East player of the year.
You know what I'm saying? Just keep getting talent, man.
And you got guys that not only are talent, but like they're alpha talents. Like, I'm the best player in my league. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if he becomes somebody that can make the roster. But that's another name to the slate for the Knicks today. All right, 800-919-3776. With the calls, we're getting late in the show.
We didn't even talk about Joe Judge, man. About to put SmackDown on Columbo.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because we do have that coming up in a moment.
Oh.
But first, I want to tell you about Michael Kay Show's 20 and 20 contest, which continues today at 3 o'clock. Listen for your chance to win 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Weber charcoal smoker. That sparked a very interesting conversation on the Kay Show yesterday, by the way. So, 20 and 20 contest brought to you by PC Richer & Son. It's Bart's favorite store.
Yes,
Kansas City Steak, Bart's favorite steak. The Bartesian, which is named after Bart, Premium Cocktails on Demand,
That's funny.
Bart's favorite radio station, 98.7 ESPN.
Correct.
So LaGreca brought this up yesterday. I got to quickly ask you about this.
Yep.
He feels like if only the Pilgrims were near like a cow or a bull, Thanksgiving would be so much more enjoyable because instead of having a turkey, you'd have like steak, which I found to be like actually it's brilliant, but also it makes you think like does anyone ever look forward to a turkey dinner other than on Thanksgiving?
Right. See, so that's the thing. It becomes a gift, right? And that spiral ham, you get that maybe four times a year. You take out the spiral ham or the honey-baked ham. How often do we pull out
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that. That's the whole idea. It's not something you would have every day.
Special.
That's what makes it special. It's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. It's turkey. It's not like Wednesday, let's have turkey. Like, you'll have steak at any time during the week if you wanted to.
Every day.
But turkey makes Thanksgiving unique. Don, that's why you do it. If it was steak, it wouldn't be that exciting because I could have steak any night. I don't have turkey because you know why? It takes forever to make it.
Absolutely.
You got to do it right. It's a whole day. It's preparation. And
I'm
you
sorry
want
that I'm passionate.
To spend every day. Like, once a week, I got to have turkey. Ma, get the turkey going. Let's go. Baste it up. Let's get this thing in the oven. Like,
we're going to church. We'll be back.
Lie.
No, that turkey takes time. It takes love.
In the car. I'm listening to this, and I'm like, Donnie, that's the whole idea of it.
You want somebody to come in and try and steal a piece off the honey-baked ham, you smack their hand with a wooden spoon.
Sniff them dead.
That was one of his best, by the way. Absolutely one of his best when he went off on Tiger. Actually, he went off on the people who love Tiger. That's what he went off on. So that was really good. But I just, like I'm glad you said what you said. It's what makes Thanksgiving unique. Because making a turkey is not that easy. It's an all-day affair. And you can't just throw it in the oven because it's dry. It's no good. You've got to really put the effort in.
Unless you fry it.
And then you burn your house down.
Yeah, exactly. I had a teammate that almost burnt the entire apartment complex down. This is how dummy this dummy is. First of all, you're not supposed to have anything that you cook outside on your deck. But he's at a... this dude's at an apartment complex.
I need to know who this is.
Guess what kind of turkey he put in there?
What?
A frozen turkey. How dumb. You talk about an igniter. A frozen turkey? That's water and grease. Peanut oil. You dummy.
Oh, man. Nobody got that one on film?
The whole side of the apartment building burnt like four or five apartments just outside, just cinched.
I just feel like that's the whole idea of Thanksgiving. It's the entire meal. It's not just the fact that it's turkey. It's all of it together.
The fellowship. It's the only time that you pretend to even like your family. You know your drunk uncle coming over late. As you get older, you try and leave before the drunk uncle come over. Because I had the drunk uncle that had the beard that made you kiss him. And then he always had like a cotton ball in his beard. And he's like, come give me a kiss, boy. And my uncle used to have like the ace bandages because he used to act like he was a karate guy. And so like he was like, man, boy, I could pull your throat out. This is what you taught me in 9. So like one day we get a call, man, come get your uncle, man. Like, what happened? He ain't got his ass whooped at the park. We come up there like, Unc, what happened? Man, he got his ass kicked by some high school kids. Like, hold up, Unc, you supposed to have a death grip, and you got beat up by a bunch of
karate
high school
guy that
kids?
Got beat up by high school kids. What, yes. Mr. Miyagi?
I was like, listen, man, let me tell you, I wanted to take his ace bandages and just pull them off. First of all, you know how crazy you got to be to have ace bandages around your wrist. Like, how are you gonna sprain your
wrist?
Put
on the wraps every day. Puts on the wraps.
Like, what you got ninja stars under there? Unc? Shout out to Uncle Warren out there, man. I love you,
but I got to give you
Uncle
Bunny a kiss.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. His beard's so long, too. It's like, itch,
all
man.
Right. We've got very little time now, but we've got to get to at least a couple of these audio files.
The audio file.
That was too good to pass up, though. I'm totally glad that you told me that. All right, then, since you mentioned it, let's get right to it. This also happened towards the end of our show. We mentioned it quick and then moved on because we didn't have time. But so Mark Colombo fired Wednesday, replaced by Dave DiGuglielmo. Did I say that right? I hope it's
offensive lineman destroyed.
Yes.
From the Patriots with him.
And so Judge brought him in because he wanted to be like a coach to help out an offensive consultant. And apparently, as reports say, Colombo didn't like that. Balked at the idea over it, all that stuff. There were rumors of a brawl, of a fight. That really, that punches were thrown. They deny all of that, but there was an altercation. There was some disagreement, and Columbo was then told, okay, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. So that's what happened. So here's Keyshawn Johnson from KJZ in the Morning on the firing.
This is a page taken out of a Bill Parcells book. But it's also sending a message to the rest of the team, the rest of the coaching staff, and to the fan base that I'm not putting up with any nonsense. I'm going to go down in flames if I'm going to go down. I'm going to do it the way that I want to. The problem with that is it's cool right now, and you're playing great, and you're doing out. The tougher you are, the more people are going to expect for you to put those W's on the board. You can get away with it for a couple years, but if you don't start winning at a high rate, it falls on deaf ears.
You agree?
Yeah, I think I had said something similar right after that. What it is he has to get the respect, right? Because everybody's watching. Everybody want to see if you're just a talker or you're a walker, right? So, like, you know, when you come in, he had to prove it with Golden Tate. But then he had to show that he was an equal opportunity habitual line stepper when Colombo stepped to him. Now, if it was a fist fight, he would have took that L because Colombo's a former offensive lineman, 280 pounds. But the fact that Colombo was threatened, because you got to think, Jason Garrett brought in his staff because when you're a new coach, they let you bring in some people that you want, and if you know, they try and put a former head coach there with you to try and teach you the ropes. There's a lot more than just the X and O's of being a head coach in the NFL. So, you know, he did it. Wasn't working, Colombo. Your offensive line sucked. Whatever you were teaching him wasn't working. We benched our first round draft pick. So, of course, I'm going to go back. And what I tell you all the time, when you feel like you're in trouble and things are sputtering out of control, you go back to your comfort zone. And what's his comfort zone? Somebody from New England that he knew he can trust in that foxhole with him because he's there with him. Colombo had nothing invested with Joe Judge. He had nothing invested with Joe Judge, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't come in with Joe Judge. He hasn't been in the foxhole. He didn't come up the ranks with Joe Judge. He came up the ranks with Jason Garrett. That's why Jason Garrett brought him, because he wanted to have somebody that he can trust. This is Joe Judge putting his stamp on his organization, saying, listen, I'm going to have my type of guys around here. Either you pull the rope the same direction, or you won't be here. And that's what you have to do when you first get somewhere and you're trying to establish yourself, because he comes in with no respect because he's a special team coach that people felt didn't deserve the opportunity.
All right. I like that take. I'd still like Joe Judge. I like the fact that that's what you do. You establish who you are, and you bring people around you who think the way you do. That's important.
Bounce.
All right. So what you heard from Anthony Grant, the coach of Obi Toppin, just a few minutes ago on our show. Let's get another head coach of a Knicks draft pick. Emmanuel Quickley was taken at 25. People are wondering, what do the Knicks have in this player? Well, how about we listen to John Calipari and his take, which he did through Twitter.
So Emmanuel Quickley, player of the year in our league. Didn't start the first five or six games because I was trying to get a three-guard rotation. And you know what? I was out of my mind. Put him in the rotation and said, no, you're a starter. And what'd we do? We win the league by three games, and he is player of the year in our league. He's going to the Knicks in the first round. And let me tell you something. He'll stretch the court. He's a culture, faith-driven. This kid is going to get so much better. He can play on the ball, off the ball. The Knicks got something. Can't wait to watch him play.
He used your line.
I wonder if he's a double agent. You know what I'm saying? Double agent. He's gonna be the feeder system, right? Because we know that, you know, he has his former assistant there.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, pipeline, I got you. Don't worry about it.
You know what he could do? If you really want to be a double agent, call your boy, De'Aaron Fox, and say, hey, Foxy, if you don't like it there in Sacramento, why don't you work your way over to the Kentucky Knicks?
Make it happen, baby. If it costs you Mitchell Robinson and it costs you Knox, Neil Keenan, and all your first round draft picks, would you do it?
Look. After you said Mitchell Robinson, anything else after that was like, whatever. we'll see.
Sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's get right to it, Bark. We've only about 2 minutes here for the rest of the show. And this portion, this very small, tiny little portion, is driven by your local Lexus dealer. Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence to take on almost anything. Experience amazing. See a Lexus dealer. So we got Cardinals Seahawks tonight, a big NFC West tilt, as they say. Thursday Night Football. This is an obvious one, but there's going to be a name missing, and you're going to freak out, but I'll explain. So your favorite player, Kyler Murray, is our MVP. DeAndre Hopkins, obvious. Christian Kirk, obvious. DK Metcalf, obvious. And then Will Disley, the tight end. So that's it. That's our kid. Who's missing? Russell Wilson. Why? Too expensive. And he doesn't play well against the Cardinals. So that's why we're doing what we're doing, and that's all I got to say about that. Quick question for you.
Sure.
Pierre Desir released by the Jets to just let him go.
Bum salad. Bryce Hall got finally activated from being injured. He's the future. He's a draft pick. He was a guy that, if it wasn't for injuries in college, would have been a first or second round draft pick. So now you're going to give him the keys to the car and see if he can drive it.
Now, Bless Austin has a neck issue. Has to go for an MRI, so he might not be available. So we call that wuss-itis, but we like Bless Austin.
I love Bless Austin, but he better put a neck roll on and buck it up, bucko.
That's a fair point. Let me ask you this question, too. In football, when you have the draft, when you're the best player in your conference and stuff, when you win awards, generally your drafts are pretty high, right?
Yeah.
How about this in basketball? So we just mentioned Miles Powell from Seton Hall. The Knicks signed him as an undrafted player.
Yep.
All right, senior, undrafted. They just signed him. He was the Big East Player of the Year. We told you about Emmanuel Quickley. He was the SEC Player of the Year. He went 25th. Okay, how about the ACC? That's a really good basketball conference, right? Trey Jones was the ACC Player of the Year. He went in the second round to the Spurs.
Yeah. Not a lot of big bodies of work, right? Because, you know, NBA is more about potential, not about what you did at the collegiate level. You know, in football, you got to stay 3 years, so you got to you get more body of work to see what these guys can do. So many moving parts in college, it's hard to say, okay, this guy's good, this guy's not good, because the college game is so much different than a pro game. In football, it's a little closer. It used to be that the NFL used to influence college, but now college influences what we see on Sundays as well now.
Yeah, I guess, and the game is a little bit more of the same, although the college game for basketball
is different. Day, the great pro game, and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but the pro game for football is becoming more and more like a college game, so maybe that's what you're starting to see. Who knows, but we do have a new week in the NFL, which begins tonight, as we talked about Thursday Night Football, and then we've got the Giants on a bye, the Jets back in action, all that to talk about tomorrow, and free agency in the NBA, Bart.
I'm giving out some money too. You can go to the Real Bar Scott and you can go apply for one of these Amazon jobs. I need 10 people to sign up because I need 10 drivers, man, because I'm trying to ramp up. I'll holla.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.